Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. I'm Reverend Thomas Wendt, for just everybody knows, here in March, we've done this a couple times. We're going to spend the entire month of March asking everybody to have a name tag on. And so, and we're going to try to make sure if you don't have your regular one with you or something, you can certainly print one. But if you have lost track of, one of the reasons we do this is if you've lost track of yours somehow or another, get word to the office so that we can make you a fresh one. So, because, you know, that these are, well, perhaps we should all of us get into the practice of wearing these every Sunday. To have something like this once in a while just reminds us, gives us an opportunity to get everybody caught back up with it. Friends, the first thing I got to share with you this morning is before you go to bed next Saturday night, make sure you turn your clocks ahead 1 hour. Daylight savings time is next week, and church is always the first thing affected by that. Now, of course, we lose an hour of sleep, but we gain an hour in the evening with people by being able to have much, much longer evenings now. So be paying attention to that as we get into next week. Also, now, of course, obviously, we've gotten our Lenten series started. It's off to a great start. We're still tweaking a little bit with the meal schedule, but we'll have something final. We posted it's a semi-final copy up on the screen a little bit earlier. The final copy will probably be passed out as we get to Wednesday night. The groups that are most pressing, like properties this coming week, they know what they're going to do. And, of course, our series is called At the Crossroads, a series of interviews of people that were associated with Jesus and what he did for us going to the cross. Supper at 6:30, worship at 7:15, all over in our Christian Life Center. We hope you can join us for that. Also, Saturday night, our Faith Factor, who is our group for Saturday night worship that is kind of helping to co-host the cruise, they are going to be doing a performance at the Oasis Coffee Shop that's in the Winn-Dixie Plaza on Little Road, way at the end of the plaza down there. They've done this a few times, and they're asked back constantly. It's like, come on, we want you back. Apparently, they've gotten quite popular over there in their time, and so the Oasis people love to have them. So Saturday night will be their time again, probably starting about 7:30. Sometime after worship. And then just a reminder to everybody that although it's not for 2 weeks yet, the Congregational Assembly will be after our late service 2 weeks from today. Finally, our 60th anniversary committee meeting, we were not able to have it this past Thursday night. We will have it this coming Thursday night. We want to remember in our prayers a couple of people. First of all, Amanda Costello. She is the Costello family. They're a lot of times they're late, and they have become our flower angels, but all of a sudden, it's like we were missing them last Sunday. Well, Amanda had surgery this past week, and they're continuing to convalesce from that. Then yesterday afternoon, the Childers family, the young family with the baby, Tim, Sarah, and Benjamin, were all involved in a rather serious car accident down on 54. There was Sarah's sister was also in the car. She was taken to Bayonet Point. She is there this morning. And Tim and Sarah and Benjamin were all sent down to St. Joseph's Hospital in Tampa on behalf of the Children's Hospital down there. Baby Benjamin had successful surgery late last night. Sarah is on crutches, and Tim... They worked him through some health concerns. All of them, as I understand it, are about to be released from St. Joseph's Hospital. And when you heard about the accident, something that as bad as it was and as bad as it looked, and as sore as they're going to be, that the Lord was with them. It could have been a whole lot worse. And so, but we do need to keep those people in our prayers, even as they're all being released from the hospital this morning. So now that is all I have. Please let us know that you were here filling out the Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. As our order of service this morning is based on a traditional morning prayer, we begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let Israel say, let the house of Aaron say, let those who fear the Lord say. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in confession, confident of his forgiveness for Jesus' sake, beginning with a time of silence. Merciful Father, our Lord and King, we are sinful people. We have inherited original sin from our first parents who disobeyed you in Eden. We are by nature sinful and unclean. In our daily lives, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We sincerely repent of our sins and humbly ask your grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. By the renewing work of the Holy Spirit, sanctify us that each day we grow in righteousness and godly living to the glory of your holy name. God is gracious and forgiving. He has shown his merciful power in ways that renew, restore, and heal. To those who come to him with repentant and contrite hearts, our Lord says, fear not, and promises pardon, life, and salvation. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are for the temptation of Jesus, the first Sunday in Lent. The Old Testament is from Genesis 3. The first story of temptation and the first story of sin. Moses writes, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of the tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is that that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, and above all beasts of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Romans 5. Christ's act of righteousness leads to our justification. St. Paul writes, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and the death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespasses, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Jesus defeats the temptations of the devil with the word of God. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. My friends, as God's gracious people, remember that for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. And the grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will rest upon you. Amen. Friends, one of the last times it was time to go get a different vehicle for our family, we went and did the kinds of things that you usually have to do, the tedium that's involved in, you know, after you pick a car. And once you do that, there's a ton of paperwork you got to go through. It seems like 100 steps. Now, invariably, there's going to be time between those steps. And even though we kind of just selected what we were going to get, when there's time and there's nothing going on, I tend to meander out into the showroom just to see what else is out there. And this last time, because I know that, you know, when out in the showroom floor, they try to sometimes show off some of the better ones, maybe something with a snazzier color or something like that. And there was this one car, and okay, they even had little carpet inserts on the ground so that, you know, you put your feet on them before you stepped in. And yeah, there was nice leather seats. It was kind of a nice, spacious car. Looked like it, you know, it had a lot of things, you know, on it, some nice features and stuff. And, well, I get curious. At some point, if you kind of size things up, well, I wonder what something like this would cost. Now, understanding that I was not, I repeat, not in a dealership of a Mercedes, a Lexus, a BMW, or anything else like that, the window sticker of this car was $79,000. And I started to ask myself some questions, not the least of which is, who would want to buy a $79,000 car? And then I looked at, okay, if I drive that car a few, not that I was tempted myself to get one, but if I were to drive that car a few years, would I feel like I was going to get my quote-unquote money's worth? Probably not. Were there some features on that car that you just couldn't get anywhere else? A ton of features, but I'd have to say, not really. Was it something that brings about a feeling that you're just not going to get in any other vehicle that's out there? That's just begging you to do that? No. And I must have just asked myself, I don't know how many questions, and finally, I just got curious. I had to pick on one of the salesmen. I'm like, who would buy this? And after trying to give me some demographic information, I'm like, no. Seriously, who would want to pay that kind of money for a car? And he said, well, he said, some people's idea of fun is laying down $79,000 for a car and driving it just to say that they can. And I'm like, oh. So, folks, if that's your idea of fun, okay. But somehow or another, it isn't mine, especially since I could probably get 3 really good cars for that price and even more. My point on this whole thing, my friends, is that I stopped myself when I was looking at something like that. You almost look at it, it wasn't really tempting me. But when we look at temptation, I wonder if we have ever stopped. Temptation is in front of us. Have we ever critically gone through a series of questions? Is this going to be really something that's truly going to enhance my life short and long term? Probably not. Is it going to be? And then you just keep asking more and more and more questions. And at some point you realize that the only reason you would do something like that is if somehow you thought it was your idea of fun. And let's face it, we have to admit that there have been times in our lives when we have committed a sin and yes, we enjoyed it. It's part of the nature of what temptation to sin can be all about, making it look like something, this is what you gotta have. Now, one thing we don't ever want to do is to try to put ourselves in the place of God, but for just this moment, You can only imagine why God took so seriously the problem of our sin and gave us a solution that was the only solution, but it was a complete and total solution, and it cost God the price of his only son. Because look at what happened. The first two people, two in the universe, and they're given one test of faithfulness. Just one. You can do all these things. You can eat from all of these trees, but here's that one. Don't eat from that tree. One would like to have thought that we could have gone through a few generations of people before that happened. No. Right off the bat, both Adam and Eve eating the fruit that they were told not to eat. And yes, as a delight for the eye, they probably enjoyed it for a moment. Then, not that long afterwards, the first two children born to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and the first kills the second. Boy, humanity's off to a great start, and is it really any better today? We actually set aside the first Sunday in Lent each year to talk about the problem of temptation because it is so powerful. But when you realize that Jesus literally did go through the most difficult of temptations, temptations so thorough that when it was all said and done, all that happened out there, angels had to come and minister to him. It was a difficult for the human side of Jesus. Oh, yes, these things were not easy, and going under the assaults of the devil never is. But the one thing we can be sure of, our Lord and our Savior alone can turn a sure loss into a sure win. When it comes to temptation, there are three things that are worth noting. Number one, nothing has changed. Temptation is going to lead to sin. Nothing has changed. Temptation is going to lead to sin and you're going to lose. A number of years ago, one of my favorite science fiction television shows depicted a time when the ship was called to a planet that on the surface seemed to be dead. But there was this vault, literally hundreds of miles underground, that they were taken down to. And here is what was left of a civilization from years ago. Now, understanding it, it's just fiction. It was written by somebody. But as this voice that was nothing but a gigantic mind, as this voice spoke for the first time, he goes on to say, well, your Adam and Eve may have been some of our progenitors. Well, okay, fine. But their point being was that their civilization went back a long ways. And what they were hoping to do, there was only three of them left. They wanted to occupy human bodies long enough so that they could build bodies of their own, thinking that they had learned their lesson about sin, that they weren't going to repeat the same mistakes again. And again, even though it was just a writer writing, and supposedly something now hundreds of years into our future, he knew. Oh yeah. It didn't, just like with Adam and Eve, it didn't even take long. And two of the three had either fallen into evil or were plotting evil. And so, friends, where do we think we're going to be any different? Nothing has changed. You come up against temptation and you are going to lose. And worse than that, it's the second point about temptation. It only takes once and seems very innocent. It only takes once and seems very innocent. Let's take this first temptation of Jesus. He is out in the wilderness. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan does this little challenge thing. First of all, doing essentially what he had done to Eve, where he is going to set the agenda. He is going to make it clear that he's the authority on this thing. And so he starts with Jesus by saying, if you are the Son of God, well, whatever follows, apparently you're supposed to play by his rules. Apparently he decides what it means to be the Son of God. No. But that first temptation fools some people because it's like, now wait a minute. He's out in the desert. Is there really going to be a problem with that desert missing one or two rocks? Not the point. Not the point. The point is that, again, as he relies on God for everything, man does not live on bread alone, but even if man does live on bread, it's provided by the Lord God, and he will provide me with food at the proper time. But man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and it's a good thing we do. Because the word of God, unlike Satan, comes to us. I mean, Satan comes with great power, greater power than any of us have, but the word of God comes much stronger than Satan does. And with the power of the word of God, that same word that was able to create an entire universe in 6 days, look at what it does to our faith and our life. It turns a sure loss into a sure win. But it only takes once. And it seems so innocent. For those of you that were part of my Bible class, I'll ask you to bear with me. But the story that I had to share, it was from something out of a past from a previous congregation of 8-10 years ago, where and the story was told to me by what was first a very proud grandmother and later a very sorrowful grandmother about a young man who put his mind, about the time he became a teenager, to joining the Air Force Academy. And he started even paying attention to the kinds of classes that it might be good for him to take as he started going through high school and just basically trying to gear as much as he could so that when he got done, he might be able to be accepted to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And he gets into a senior year, and then he applies. He formally applies to the Air Force Academy, and he's a little stumped that he hadn't heard from them, but it's not like no one had. At some point, the Air Force Academy had decided to accept him, but they decided they were going to have a most special honoring of him being taken into the Air Force Academy. Even though it was a very large graduation at this particular high school, officials from the Air Force Academy were going to be a part of the graduation and were going to vest him with becoming a part of the Air Force Academy at graduation. But you want to talk about a guy that ends up being the guest of honor? Wow. Except 3 days before the graduation, he decided to be with a bunch of friends. This bunch of friends decided to go someplace that they should not go, and he went with them. This bunch of friends decided to go into a certain place and cause some trouble, and even though this time he didn't go with them, he was with them. Somehow the police were notified, and because he had not gone in, he was the first one that the police found. And even though all the rest of the young men were charged with more serious offenses, he was still charged with criminal trespass. And the next day, the Air Force Academy notified him that his vesting into the Air Force Academy had been canceled and that the people that were going to be at graduation were changing their travel plans and would not appear. Friends, it only takes once for our lives to be irreversibly changed to where now serving God is going to have to take a completely different form than anything that we ever thought, so be it. Because even though it only takes once and it seems so innocent, we are grateful that no matter where our lives have been And when you look at Adam and Eve and the mess they made, and Cain and the mess that he made, and each of us and the messes that we have made, what we have to see most of all is a Lord and Savior who not only came into this world to defeat sin, but to also defeat temptation and to put it on display right in front of Satan. And the most sure weapon that they had was the Word of God. A Word of God that is that is always effective. A Word of God that is powerful. A Word of God that, I got to admit, probably none of us spend enough time with in terms of allowing it to really be that which helps to guide our lives. But that's where the sure wins against Satan are found. So, Satan is going to rail. He's going to accuse. He's going to have those times when, he's going to get the best of us. But you know what? Our sins are forgiven. Jesus took all of that, both the failure to temptation and the guilt that follows it, to the cross with him. And now he has given us those same tools where we can look at Satan and say, "Be gone. Get away from me." Oh, I wish I could say that somehow we could be without sin, but we can't. But still, in a relationship with the Savior that defeated temptation, in the midst of a faith that has endures to life everlasting, we now can stare temptation in the face and maybe start asking ourselves some of those critical questions. We can now take on temptation and ask the same questions we would ask if we were pondering to get a $79,000 car. Friends, I don't think we have anybody with us that takes great pride in driving $79,000 cars. But even if we do have people amongst us who have gone through some times in their lives where they have made victims, they have sinned and they have enjoyed it, they have only much, much later had to feel the crush and the guilt and the consequences of what that did. Know this. The Savior who took on the Satan and his temptations, who made it clear that he will determine what it means to be the Son of Man and the Son of God. Well, he's there for you. And he has turned your sure losses into total and complete victories. Friends, Jesus does that so that we can one day, even as the devil has left him, that one day we will have all of that leave us for good. And then we will be with Christ forever. A sure win. A sure win. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the baptismal confession of our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's at the bottom of page 7, or we can follow along on the screen. So let us renew our baptismal vows as we speak of the forgiveness of sins and the birth of the life of faith, which God our Father bestows in and through baptism. Before we continue, please stand. Do you this day acknowledge the gifts and grace God has given you in holy baptism? Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe in him whose name is above all names, Jesus Christ, God's only Son? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed? Remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit throughout your life? We receive our offerings. Please note the special prayer response that we are using as we look to our Lord God on behalf of all of God's people, whatever their requests may be. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, from whom comes every good gift, every perfect present, and every just work. We come before you in the name of Jesus Christ this morning with a deep sense of our unworthiness, of our shame, of our failure to temptation and sin, but also with faith and great confidence in your fatherly love and mercy. We thank you that you have given us Jesus Christ because he knows our infirmities, for he bore them. We thank you that you have given us Jesus Christ because he knows our temptations, for he endured them. We thank you that you have given us Jesus Christ because he has been one who has sent into this world to learn obedience by the things which he suffered. Be with us as we grow in him, O Lord, throughout these days in Lent. Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world, cleanse us from our sins and teach us about avoiding temptation. May we always be willing to use the Word of God properly as we continue to learn and grow in it. Take us from all desire and temptation so that we will not follow any will or any voice but yours alone. Fill us with faith and love that we may gladly believe and follow your word, and give us such trust in our Heavenly Father's protection that we always rejoice as we walk in his ways. O Lord, throughout these days in Lent, Lord God, frequently we are led into the wilderness of temptation, the lure of things that would seem to even be fun and enjoyable but are sin. Deliver us by your power. Save us from all the sources of evil, the devil, the world around us, and our sinful self. Enable us to stand firm in every hour of testing, and give us your strength, that by the example of Jesus, we are shown the victorious power where we become total winners in God's word. O Lord, throughout these days in Lent, be with all of those who are suffering. Let them know your concern and compassion. This morning we lift up to you Amanda Costello and also the Childers family, Tim, Sarah, Benjamin, all hospitalized down at St. Joseph's in Tampa. Also on behalf of Sarah's sister Anna, who's hospitalized at Bayonet Point this morning. We've also gone through many times, dear Lord, where we are confronted with those whose earthly pilgrimage is rapidly coming to an end. Comfort them with your promises. Fill them with the sure hope of eternal life in Christ. And as you watch over all your people, bring us safely through this world to that kingdom which you have prepared for all who love you. All this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who defeated temptation for us. Amen. We now sing the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Our service concludes at the bottom of page 9, the unison collect as we pray together. Almighty and eternal God, your kingdom is everlasting and your house is forever. Grant us grace to live with unfailing confidence, knowing that you have delivered us from sin and the power of death and Satan, and have built for us an everlasting house, where we shall rejoice in your eternal presence. This we ask for the sake of Jesus, the Almighty Conqueror and our gracious Savior. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. And now the blessing of God Almighty, the Father who gave his Son for the life of the world, the Son who has revealed to us God's mercy and love and grace, and the Spirit by whose fruit we are seen to be children of God, bless you now and forever. Friends, before we send off everybody, I just wanted to let you in on something that last night at worship, we had some folks that had actually come down earlier because of some events in their life. They had to return back to the north, but their names are the Steinbachs. They officially became our last snowbird folks to arrive down from the north here in the middle of March. And it's with some regret that now we are going to be bidding farewell this morning to the first of what will probably be our many snowbirds, as we've got some folks that are returning to Connecticut for some family obligations. And we appreciate every Sunday we get from every one of you. And I just wanted to let you know that, because it seems like once the exodus starts, it just gets to the point it never stops. So for all of you, we appreciate you, the time that you give to us down here and the time that you give to us in worship. So go in peace and serve the Lord.